What was it? Two? Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Great. Yeah. So breaking through, right? We're breaking through. Things are changing. Can you feel change right now? Can you feel things releasing? Can you feel things releasing? These heavy heart burdens, letting them up through Scripture. Right? All right. Who else? Anybody else have anything? Right here, there's Steve. We'll go to Randy again after, just real quick.
So kind of a follow-up on Vicky's scripture about honoring father and mother. When my dad was home and he was dying, one of our little grandsons was kind of being disrespectful to his parents. And so we read scripture to him, that scripture. And so he said, boy, Grandpa Edmund must have really loved his parents. He was 99 years old. Anyway, for those who don't know, last week Melinda had a test, and they found a suspicious spot, and so she had to have a biopsy, and so we'll wait. It'll be 7 to 10 days before she has the results. So we're going to be gone for the next couple of weeks because we're taking a vacation, which we hadn't really had for a while, and we kind of planned that, you know, kind of the last minute, just to get away. So that's why we're going to be gone. She's not here today because she's home with the little grandson that we had last night. But when she had her first bout with cancer, the girls in the church filled out little index cards, and she had them all over her mirrors. And so every day she'd read those scriptures. Of course, her favorite one, well, we had about 20 of them.
Right? I know.
We're going to read one. And it's also, ironically, in the bulletin, from Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, every, not just ones we like and don't like, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, we're kind of looking at this like, we got stuff to do. We don't have time to be running around getting tests and having surgery. You know, we got stuff to do. But God's going to see us through no matter what. And, you know, people are born every day and people die every day. And, you know, of course, Melinda's got that attitude. If the Lord wants to take me, I'm ready. I'm not ready for that yet, but she was. But we still have things to do. So we're trusting that God's going to take care of things. And whatever comes our way, we've all done, we've been there and done that. We persevere, and we are joyful for the good things that we have, and not get too frustrated by the things that aren't so good. Because no matter what comes our way, it's a test. It's a testimony comes from that, and it strengthens us and builds character in us. So we thank you for that.
I was waiting for somebody to say a scripture that was on the pamphlet itself. I just knew it was going to happen.
That's right here, baby.
Let's go to...
Wait, can I just say something about that? Oh. I was doing the bulletin yesterday. I had more to that scripture. I had the first two verses tagged on that's been there for a long time. And as I was redoing the bulletin, the Lord just said to me, you know what? I want you to get rid of those first two scriptures and focus on what's important. Do not be anxious for anything.
So Vicky was just saying for people on Zoom that she adapted the scripture that was chosen, and it just happened to be adapted to what Steve just yes, yeah, it just happened to. It's always a coincidence. Let's go back to Randy real quick here, and can you say the scripture that you referred to before again?
Yeah. So to reiterate what I started this morning with, and it's confirmed in that Philippians one, it's 1 Timothy 2:1. It says, first of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Boy, there's those words again, petition and thanksgiving. The reason why this one came to me, you know, and amongst other things, was I've recovered from a lot of addictions, a lot of issues, and mental battles in my life, and through intercession, through the power of intercession, prayer, petitions from my father and other loved ones that helped me along my way with faith and believing and teachings and everything in the Lord is that I honestly do believe that, you know, let me start over. Some people don't know that my father passed away 7 years ago, pretty young age for some people to lose their father. He struggled with a lot of issues and he was in a lot of pain for most of my life. I think from when I was 13, he became fully disabled. So when he left, you know, I knew he was going to a better place, so I was happy. But I've shown things several times that he's taught me, and this is one thing. He'd asked me one time how many times I thought that I died physically and spiritually. And they were showing to me that several times, and because of intercession between him and other people in our belief, I'm here to give thanks and praise for intercession and thanksgiving to everyone. So thank you.
So intercession, right? So people were praying for him, and he had situations that could have, should have cost his life, but through God's grace, people's intercession, Randy's still here. Huge.
Hi. So, I've been thinking about this homework for a while now and pondering on it, and it really stemmed down to, so when I was young, and I know some of you know, I lost my father as well. I was 7 years old, and he was murdered in Berlin. And I didn't find out later until he was actually murdered. My mother thought I was too young, told me that he had a heart attack, and it was too much on a seven-year-old to take until I found out later on, when I was 12 years old, that my friend came up to me in school and said, your dad didn't have a heart attack. My mom talked to me about that. He was stabbed to death. And so at 12 years old, somebody coming up to you and saying that, it was shocking. I didn't want to believe it. So I ran home from school and talked to my mom about it. My mom told me the truth. She told me that I was too young to know at the time. She felt and thought it would do no damage to me if he would tell me at the time. Either way, losing your father, it's one of the hardest things someone would ever have to go through at a young age. It's terrible. But his girlfriend at the time, my mother was divorced from him, and his girlfriend at the time is the one who murdered him over some fight. There was a lot of drugs and things involved then, and she stabbed him with a butcher knife. But I had a really rough time forgiving her for a long, long time. And shortly after I was 12 years old and I found out that news, I was helping cater a party, and my aunt had a catering business, and she was at this wedding at this party, and I hadn't seen her for 5 years. And I kept my composure, but as I was busy, she put her hand on my right shoulder, and I turned around, and she said, I just want to apologize. There's nothing that I can say or do to make you feel better or bring your dad back, but I truly am sorry, and please can you let bygones be bygones? Well, at the time, I couldn't handle my emotions still. I got up and just saw black. It took four adults to hold me back because I was going after death. It was terrible. But anyway, it took me a long time to forgive her. And these are the scriptures that I clung on for that, because it has helped humble me. Forgiveness has helped humble me. It has taken a lot of pride and hurts out of me. So we all know John 3:16, and I hung on this because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I remember this scripture when I was 12 years old and I was going through this. this because I kept thinking, I can only imagine, God, what you are feeling. Yes, you gave your son's life for us, you know, and I have mine taken away. But I can only imagine how you feel. Like, I know how you feel. I can relate to him losing his son as I lose my dad, you know. So also the forgiveness in that, I said to myself, oh, this lady, as I was getting into my teens, that murdered, like, how can I forgive her? And after therapy and after prayer, I did forgive her. I forgave her because I didn't want her to burn. That's why I forgave her. And it brings me, I remember that over the years because I said that the only way I'm going to come to forgiveness for this lady is to know that God wants her too. God wants her in his kingdom too. And he loves her more than I can even imagine. So he can forgive her. If I can forgive her, then he's forgiven her. So, cool. Because the next scripture, everybody concentrates on 16, but then 17 says, for God sent his only son into the world, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that, it took me a long time to forgive her, but deep down now I forgive her for everything that she did. I'm hoping she's doing good. And in the comfort that I had with this, also with Romans 8:37, it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I hung on that scripture knowing that he'll never part from me. He'll always have me by the hand. He'll always be there for me by my side through everything that I've been through. And I prayed for her that she had the same love after I came through this forgiveness for her. That was hard to go through, but only God could bring me to that.
Only God can bring you to that. And I mean, we've seen stories of something similar, right? When you're talking about like forgiveness after some big crime, murder, stuff like that. That is unnatural for us on a flesh level. It only comes through Christ. It only comes through Christ. And I love that you put in there, I didn't want her to burn. I didn't want her to burn. So even though she took a life, she had enough compassion that she didn't want to see that lady down in hell. And how many people have said, I hope you burn in hell. And those are strong words when you say something like that. So just the opposite is God, right? And John brought a message about battling different, right? A long time ago, that message really hit me. We're not meant to battle the way we battle, that the world battles. We battle the way God wants us to battle. Different weapons, and that's a weapon. Right back to Jolinda, please.
Many things have happened in my life, and I'm thankful for the ladies in this church. Definitely Laura Tau. In the past, I've heard about her bitterness and forgiveness, and it definitely worked in my heart way, way, way back then. And I've heard Diane's, Sylvie's, many ladies here, and it was wonderful. And I feel like they were preparing me for something because they definitely have. Because then, in 2016, when I got cancer, I was definitely scared. I was really scared, and I'm thankful that Melinda was in my life give up on me when I was like half of me was in the church and half of it was out. They were there for me. And Melinda would come and we would read Psalms together. And one of the ones that stuck out the most was Psalms 91. And from that time on, that scripture has worked in many areas of my life and where things have happened, dramatic events, things that happened with my children, where I had fear that things where I have no control over. Mm-hmm. And this Psalms 91 is a prayer when you are scared in the dark. You know, he's guided, you know, he's guided me through this, brought peace to my heart so I can sleep at night. You know, it just, because, you know, we are attacked. You know, there's a spiritual battle. And I didn't have a clue, but this is where Melinda led me to. And this is where I started out from, to fight that fear and not let it settle or have a place in my heart.
That's right.
That this is where, you know, God has control over this. Mm. Because he is, I feel like he's won this battle for me already.
Yes, right. He has.
So
we don't even know it, and he has.
So Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Nor evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over you, to keep you in all your ways, and their hand shall bear you up. Unless you dash your foot against a stone, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Words to cling on, right? Words to cling on. It's incredible. What a testimony, right? She was half in, half out. Who knows what that means? She was half in and half out. How many of us have been there? Right? Half in, still there sometimes, right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, she was talking about in the church and out of the church, right? She's clinging to the church and some people, but also staying away from the church at a certain time, too, right? So those are... You know, it's amazing how the church was still there, right? How we still there in the gap through that stuff. You know, that's huge. So great. And Psalms 91, I mean, Psalms are awesome anyways as a whole. So Psalms 91 is huge. All right. Anybody else? Right over here to Heather. Please. Oh, you got, go ahead since you got the mic there, big guy. That's what they do. They make us step out.
I wasn't going to say anything, but we've already heard it a couple different times. Judgment, pride, that kind of thing. And I was raised to be a very judgmental person. Very judgmental person. Like I said, I don't know if it was the way I was raised or if it was the way, just the way I am genetically, I'm not sure. But anyway, I struggle with that constantly, even after being saved. Still judgmental. But I read something a couple months ago in Matthew. I think it's Matthew 23, 26. I had to research that one as well. And it just hit me, and I've been falling back on that on so many different levels that basically Jesus blessed the Pharisees, saying that, you might look right on the outside, but the inside of your cup is not clean. And, you're not right with God.
Right.
So all this stuff, your outward appearances, don't mean anything unless you're right with God. And it just really hit me hard, like a ton of bricks. And I talked to Jason about it the other day. I've been going back to it ever since, and I read it 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago.
Okay.
So I really keep falling back on that. When I look at people walking up and down Main Street and Pleasant Street, and they look like lost souls, I'm like, look at that loser, but previously I would have just stopped there.
Right.
But now I'm like, I don't know what's going on inside that person's cup.
Correct.
I only know what's going on the outside. He might be, or she might be, working on cleaning the inside of that.
That's right.
And so part of being judgmental too is I also worry about what people think of me.
Correct.
Right. So
there's the consequence.
Right. I was raised to worry about outward appearances. Right. Outward appearances, but I wasn't right with God. And now that I've been saved, I'm not saved perfect with God.
Well, of course.
I'm getting right with God. So I'm constantly working on the inside of my cup. So when I'm worried about somebody and what I think they might be thinking about me, I'm just like, their cup might be dirty. I'm going to worry about what's on the inside of my cup. And that's how I've kind of been living my life since I've been.
And so judgmental is, you have to bear a consequence to that. What a burden to always have to look perfect. What a burden to always think that people have to look at you and feel like there's a perfect person. That's heavy. And so what that leads to is disappointment. Because you know you're not. Nobody's perfect. And then when you have that disappointment feeling, even though you're trying to put on a show, then you make bad decisions. Right? Because you have to get an outlet somewhere. And if you don't know Christ, that outlet is usually not a good place. And it can go all kinds of different directions. So we got to be careful. Be careful, right? And that scripture right there for judgment is probably one of the best ones for judgment, for sure. Look at your own cup. Look at your own cup. Huge. Huge. Yeah.
As we all, kind of talk today, I feel like the counselor part of me kind of kicks in, and it brings me back to, why I became a counselor myself, and how the Father has been with me, even through young years, to kind of protect me, in a sense, from some of the traumas, the abuses that my Christian brothers and sisters have been through. And so as I think of that, I think of the most important, one of the most important things for me in this world is being his child, being a child of God, but in my roles here, it's being a good wife and being a mom. And so, I'm not amazing at memorizing scripture, but I'm always thrown out to my kids, who we try to protect in all of these ways that many of you were not protected by your parents in those ways. We try to protect the kids, but at the same time, they know of the world. They know of the world because we bring in very broken foster children who abuse them into our home. And their families, and all the demons that come in with them, they're fully aware of, and I want them to know how to battle that. And I want them to also know that, in these years, we've taken in, like, drug-addicted, sexually abused by police officer, brother, into our home numerous times, while at the same time claiming that it's the most important thing we could do. One of the most important things is to protect our children. And so the scripture that I don't always say, and I'll read the scripture and its beauty from the Bible, but I'm always throwing out pieces of it or whatever to the kids. When this stuff gets heavy on me and I want them to have refuge in him, it's funny, you guys have already gone to Philippians, kind of 6 and there, and I always go to Philippians 8, which says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. And so I think that as, you know, our kids, we're raising them, we're trying to protect them, we can't protect them from everything, no matter what we do. I try to just instill in them, make sure you focus on those goods. Make sure you focus on what is pure, what is lovely, what is praiseworthy, what is honorable. Focus on these things. And if I teach them nothing else, and if I don't lean on anything, I lean on that scripture. When I get tired, then the counselor part of me that feels everything, every feeling that somebody else feels, it can be overwhelming. Whereas when I think that they focus on what's pure and good and right, and don't always stay in what we see overpowering in this world, which is darkness and evil. So
praying over the kids, praying over your family. Huge, right? Like, and the fact is you can't shelter them forever unless if you plan on having them in your house forever and just keeping them there forever and coddling them and making sure that they're all protected. Keep put up a fence around your house, right? And this is our compound, and we're going to keep them here and keep them safe, and nothing's going to interfere with that. It's unrealistic, right? It's unrealistic. They're going to go out in the world and they're going to face this stuff. So how do we equip them? We equip them the same way we're equipping ourselves, and that's through scripture. That's how we equip them. So that hopefully they go out and make better decisions that don't have to face the consequences that we did have to face, some of us, and have to go through. Right? So we equip them so that they're ready to go, because it's coming at them. It's coming at us. It's coming at them. And they're meant to not just be in their little compound, but they're meant to go out there and show people a different way of living, just as we are meant to do that. We're meant to show people a different way of living in the darkness. In the darkness. Paul Coleman, a great Christian singer, basically left like a big lifestyle, and he goes and plays in bars. Sings Christian songs in bars. Christian songs in bars. He's not separating himself from evil. He's attacking evil.
Where it lives.
Where it lives. In those dark places. It's beautiful. So protect our kids. Teach them. How do we battle? Alright. Well, anybody else? Ready or the barn? She's late. Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. This is a pressure thing. This is not normal. This is not normal in a church. Let's start with that. You don't hear this stuff in a church. And this is not normal mindset of us to step out for a lot of us. And so this is God working right now through people. Boldness. The theme of the year. Oh, all right.
To be honest with you, I don't know what the scripture is, but it's always been stamped in my head, because I, too, have come from abuse and just all kinds of crap in my childhood. But no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yes.
When I was going through a divorce, it was... After 26 years of marriage, it was really hard. I was a foster care provider. And I never finished high school. So to get a job, I mostly worked for my parents all the time because they always had businesses. But to get a job and say, you know, you didn't graduate, it was really tough. Tough now, but it was tough back then also. So when I got the foster care license, I was so proud that I could do something that was my passion, and that was loving and protecting children, much like Pillar. And I was going through the divorce, and we thought it was going to be amicable, and we thought it was going to be, we were going to maintain friends and just part and all that, but when it came down to, you know, splitting houses and so on and so forth, it got pretty nasty. So I was bringing up my grandson because my son spent a lot of years in prison, and it got really nasty, and I wanted to protect him of that. So I just picked up our lawn baskets. I had two ready all the time of the kids' stuff in it, and called a friend. It was one of the nor'easters that we had. I too suffer from memory loss from a car accident. Called a friend. She came and got me and Tristan, and we went to church and I prayed. With a friend of mine, Julie, and she brought up that scripture. And I'm like, but you don't understand. This is my life. You know, I did this. I completed it. I want to stay into foster care, but I can't, you know, moving out and leaving my house and so on and so forth. So she just says, well, you need to pray. You need to pray for a place. You need to, I'm like, I was taught not to pray for myself. I was taught to pray for others.
Okay.
My grandmother always said, you don't pray for yourself. So she just kind of put the word that Sunday around church. And by the end of church, I was in an apartment over on the east side. This couple took me in, let me pay the security deposit in increments and so on and so forth. Helped me fix up a room for the foster children, you know, as they came in, separate from my grandson. And because of some past that the gentleman had in his life, I was unable to have foster children in that apartment. So after doing all that preparation and everything, it was just pulled right out from underneath me, and that was my only livelihood at the time. And bringing up a little boy that I was trying to save from a very troubled beginning. So I went back to church that next Sunday. Sunday after that, two Sundays after that, after they had come in and inspected my house and so on and so forth, they told me that I couldn't have my child care license there, foster care license there. Pastor Rob, again, quoted that scripture. And that same day, I was going home from church, and right on Pine Street, there was a big, thanks, honey, a big for rent sign in this greenhouse on the first floor. And I stopped and I knocked on the door, and a lady came out and she says, I'm renting this out, it's not mine. An older lady just moved out, blah, blah, blah. I said, I want it.
Oh.
And she says, well, you just told me you don't have a job.
Right.
And I said, but this is where I need to be by the church.
Right.
Because I'm out by myself.
Right.
With this little boy.
Right.
So she says, okay, it's yours.
Yeah.
So two times, you know, in the matter of a month, somebody just reached out and said, it's yours.
Mm.
And I know that wasn't me. I mean, that was God all the way, and everybody praying for me at the church. And I go into the house, and I had green walls, kind of like a green chalkboard. And I walk into the kitchen, and what do you think is written in chalk on the wall? And today, I still don't know what the scripture is. So if anybody
it's right here.
Oh my goodness, thank you. Isaiah,
yep.
That's what it is.
No weapon formed against you.
You will succeed, and you will refute any accusation raised against you in court. This is the heritage of the Lord's servants, and their righteousness is from me. This is the Lord's declaration.
That's right.
And it was written on the wall in chalk in the kitchen.
Yep. Huge, right?
And I thought it was
coincidence? Coincidence? Boy, that's it. I'll tell you what, that's a heck of a coincidence. If that's a coincidence, that is a heck of a coincidence, right? Anybody else before we close? I got some final thoughts here. Yep, Jason.
For me, all these are good. I like that. I don't do well at memorizing numbers and all that. You get the idea. So we've got the Samaritans trying to help other people.
Right.
We've got don't cast the first stone of judging other people. You have all of this stuff, but when the battle's raging, and things are looking grim, the biggest one that I fall on, and I couldn't even tell you what it is be still and know that I'm God.
Yes.
Because that allows you to reset. And then to me, focus on everything else that needs to be focused on. But until you reset and you be still and you know and you admit to yourself that He is God and you can't fix it, nothing else matters. That's where I have to go. Well, more times than I like to, but that's where I have to go.
Yeah, that's what's that? Somebody got it?
No, it's 46:10. Psalms 46:10.
Psalms 46:10. Thank you. Yep. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I'll be honored throughout the world. Know that He is God. Know that He is God. It is huge. When you're down and out, that's a good one that covers a lot, doesn't it? You can put yourself in any situation and sit there and say, you're God, and I'm going to be still, and I know you got it covered. Whew, huge. That's a good one. It's a good one to end on. Anybody else? All right. So just like I kind of wrote down some final thoughts about this and why this exercise was done, right? So we heard a lot, didn't we? And we heard some really hurts. Do we know each other a little bit better? So when we're kind of going through that little judgment moment of like, how can that person do this? How can that person do that? Or if we're trying to say like, I want to help that person, but I don't know that person. Maybe you know that person a little bit more. Maybe you can understand some of the battles that they're facing, right? And so we all come together with different baggage, ideas, education, past influences, and grew up with different parents, lost parents, family styles. All these things have an influence, right? Even our brains function differently. Our brains have strengths and weaknesses that are all different. Some of us are creative. Some of us are mathematic. Some of us are comical. Some of us are engineer-based. Some of us are biologically based. Some of us are mechanical. Some of us are feeling-based. Some of us are love-based amongst many other types. It's all these different types, right, that are out there. We're all coming from different places. We all have different strengths, different passions. All those factors influence how we view the Bible. That's how we come into, we open the Bible, we're reading this, and we all have different looks, right? And how we view God, how we view Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And because of those factors, some of us focus more on grace, right? Because we come from, maybe you were hurt in the past, right? And so we want to tend to focus on grace, right? We want to overcome that. Some of us, where was that here? Grace. Some of us, obedience, right? Some of us are more obedience-based. Like, we want, you look at the Bible, and it's like all about obedience. You got to be obedient. You got to do your job. You got to, don't sin, and all that stuff, right? So, some of us, miracles. Some of us like hearing stories about miracles. We're looking in the Bible for miracles. We want to see miracles all the time. Some of us love that, some of us haven't been loved, and we're looking for love. Some of us have a passion to love people and just love people. Some the law. Some people are focused on the law. of the Bible because it's important. But that's our focus. Some of us about free will and freedom. Some of us haven't had that. You grew up in a household where it was all about rules and regulations. And now you're looking for freedom and free will. And so we tend to focus on the free will aspect of the Bible. Some of us about works, like we gotta do stuff. We grew up in a household, we always did stuff. That was the job. You had chores and you had tasks, and so it was all about work. So in the Bible, I kind of look for work sometimes and focus on works. Some of us about forgiveness. Some about judgment and justice. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be justice. You know, you look at the evil and you're like, oh, they're going to get their day. They're going to get their day. So you focus on those scriptures that are justice and judgment based. Some about the rapture, some on God's sovereignty, some on the now, some on the past, some on peace, some on God's sovereignty, some on God only, some on Holy Spirit only, some on Jesus only, and some as all three as one. These are all the different types of mindsets we can have when we're looking at the Bible and our walk with God. I believe you get the picture. I mean, there's so much more, right? You're getting the idea that there's a lot of variations, right? A lot of variations. And all those can lead to either unity or they can lead to division. And that's what I get out of all these different churches, right? So one's more focused on Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And so they tend to be more of the speaking in tongues and a little more charismatic. And then you got others that are more focused on the law. And they're more reserved and won't raise their hands. Right? Those are divisions. Those are divisions. But it's a choice. It's either unity or division. We really need everyone to bring, but really what we need to do is bring our own perspective, ideas, views to help create a full perspective of God. Because you know what? Every single one of those are part of God's character. Every single one of them. He's not just charismatic. And he's not just more law. He's all of it. We can't even wrap our heads around it. Right? We can't even wrap our heads around it. He's everything. He's not just a one-sided view. He is so much more than one perspective. And we can see that benefit from what was just shared right now. You just heard a lot of stories of people's lives, and they're all coming from their perspective and why that scripture was important to them. From everyone's perspective. And what each of us focus on due to many influences on our life and how God made us. How God made us. He made us different. He wants to fill in the gaps with everyone. He didn't make one type of Christian. That's not what he did. It's very important to remember that unity does not mean that we think exactly alike. In our Christian walk, it is important that we have our fundamental truths, right? We have things that we can't deviate from. There's fundamental truths that we have to believe and adhere to. But we all bring a different perspective to our view on the Bible and the Trinity. He made some of us right-handed people. And we use the left side of our brain. And we're more concrete, mathematical. But he also made a left-handed people who use the right side of their brain. And they're more creative. They have a little bit more softer feelings a lot of times. And we can't have a room full of right-handed people. And we can't have a room full of left-handed people. Because if we do, we're missing something. We're missing something. When we have spouses, a lot of times people say, we're opposite. Right? Opposites attract. And why is that? It's to complement each other. It also strengthens your fortitude a little bit. But it really is meant to complement each other. When I came into our marriage, I didn't really care for vegetables. There's a consequence to not eating vegetables. Wasn't a huge corn, I'd eat corn. Corn on a cob, corn. That was about it. I didn't like it. Carla would cook vegetables. Try this. I don't want to try that. Try this. I don't want to try that. Eventually I tried. You know what happened? I started to like vegetables. It's crazy, right? But if I stay with somebody who didn't like vegetables and I didn't like vegetables, that's not good. We're on the same page. Both of us are going to have health issues because we don't like vegetables and aren't getting nutrition. That's a problem. Can we function in a united way through the differences that we have? Becomes the question. Can we look at each other realizing that, yeah, they have a different perspective, but we have the same core belief. We're all striving for the same thing in this building, I hope. It should really be looked at as beneficial and not divisive. Sean said it. We may think we have all the answers. Guess what? None of us do. Not a single one of us have all the answers. Not a single one of us has the perspective of God fully. And if you think you do, you're fooling yourself. It forces us, when we have these differences, it forces us to inspect our own beliefs, to fortify our beliefs, or maybe it may even give us a new revelation and open our eyes to what God wants us to know and maybe change our belief. Whenever anybody challenges you, you go back to the Bible. And you fortify your belief. Maybe he shows you something different. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he says, Reg, you're right on target. Don't sway. Don't be persuaded by anybody else. You're on spec. You're aligning with what I got for you. Don't change. Or maybe you go back to the Bible and you read something and you're like, holy smokers, I never saw it that way. And you just opened my eyes to something new. And now, I gotta do a little shift. So let's become bold through the scripture. Let's learn from each other. Let's not be afraid to challenge each other. As long as it's in love. As long as it's in love. As long as you're doing it for the good and not for the bad, to tear somebody down. Are you doing it to build people up? Or are you doing it to show that you're superior to somebody else?
Oh, no.
Those are things we have to consider. So let's not be afraid to challenge each other. Let's share with each other like we just did. It doesn't have to happen here. Many of you have shared your stories with me. It's amazing. There's a world out there just waiting for them to, they're just waiting to unload. They really are. I was at work and the guy came in to paint and fix up some stuff on my wall and he told me his whole battle of his life that's happened this past year. And at the end, he said, I don't know why I just told you this. I don't even know you. But I knew. That I knew, and that happened 2 weeks ago. So let's be bold. Let's learn from each other. Let's not be afraid to challenge each other. Let's share with each other. Let's love one another, respecting that some of us are going through different things right now. A lot of particular things in our lives. And those differences that we're seeing can make a whole body. Can make a whole body. Not everybody was meant to be an eye. And not everybody was meant to be a knee. Because if we're all eyes, we're not doing very good functioning as a unit. So let's keep that in mind. Dear Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing and for people who are accepting this challenge. This is a hard challenge. We pray that we always pursue your perspective, not our own perspective. We pray that we've learned something on how we're different, but we can still be united with the same common principles, the same common goal, pursuing you, going out in the world and looking to help other people. And when we find them, make them into disciples so that they can do the same thing. You're so amazing, God, and we can't even wrap our heads around how great you are. We pray for all our Christian churches that somehow all these differences, all these crazy things that have divided us, can become overcome somehow. To challenge each other. To know that it's okay to have a different way of praising you. Because you didn't say there's only one way to praise you. And there's not only one way to reach people. Every person is different. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will not mislead us. Our heads will mislead us. That's why we pray that the Holy Spirit guides us through it all. We love and thank you. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all for doing that, stepping out in faith. And I know it's scary and it's a tough thing to go through, but good things happen from this. Good things happen from this. And you're going to become more bold and stronger, and I really believe that.
We haven't had a chance to do that. Let's everyone stand up, stretch out. We're going to finish up with a song. We all say, I know you've been good for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, you've been good. It's a challenge.
I hate to do this because we've been trying to not give you. Can we have a quiet, please? You know, so many things going on in your mind, but I forgot to mention that there is a Men on Fire conference this weekend, Friday and Saturday. It's in the bulletin. Also, worship night Sunday at the First Baptist. And then we do have an elders meeting this Thursday, so if you need to talk to us, just let us know. It's at 7 o'clock.
and we can put you in there. So let's close with this song. And then I know there are people that didn't speak here.